Tonight's Big Brother Recap is sponsored by LegalZoom, because there's lots of great reasons that smart business people trust LegalZoom. For starters, if you want to incorporate, form an LLC, a nonprofit, file a patent or trademark, get a DBA or more, LegalZoom promises you the help that you need. And it's not like when you need help from Vanessa in the Big Brother house and she says she's going to do one thing and she does another thing, because over the past decade, more than a million business owners just like you got started on LegalZoom, because LegalZoom's your first stop when you need advice from an attorney. Now, LegalZoom's not a law firm, so they built a network of independent attorneys in most states to provide legal advice and other useful services to help you run your business. So whether you need a contract reviewed, advice on whether you should incorporate or form an LLC, whatever your legal questions, start with LegalZoom. And as always, they've got complete transparency, upfront pricing, customer reviews, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. So make the smart choice for your business at LegalZoom.com today. Don't forget to enter Rob at checkout to save even more. Again, that's Rob at checkout for more savings. LegalZoom, legal help is here. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now is the guy who's like the Miley Cyrus on a wrecking ball of podcasting, Rob Sestrino. Hello, everybody. We've got a fantastic show for you here tonight, Sunday night, August 30th. We're at the 30th episode of BB17, believe it or not. And we have a fantastic guest who was actually in the house with Grandma Meg and the rest of the castmates from Big Brother 17. Here he is joining us for the first time, Jason Roy. Jason, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Actually, Jason joined us for exit interview, but this is the first time live here with us on the post-show recap, and I hope first of many times, Jason.
Oh, whenever you want. I'm like, I love all this podcast stuff. I'm like, all I do is talk about Big Brother anyway. Let's go.
Great. That's perfect. That's how I got started also. Now, are you coming to us live from the basement?
It's live from the basement.
Okay, nice. Very nice. Good. Hopefully we have some more
luxury.
Some more stories as we're there. Also joining us here tonight, our Sunday live feed correspondent. He saw everything that went down this week. Here is Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
I'm good. And I want to know, Rob, if you'll be my official podcast host.
Yes. I had tweeted about the Austin's official girlfriend. Is that sort of like the battle between the official Zingbot and the unofficial Zingbot on Twitter?
Yeah, they flashed the Zingbot official at the bottom right when he said official girlfriend. I was like,
yeah. Is Austin's first girlfriend just like Austin's girlfriend 3000 on Twitter?
Yeah.
And now there's official Austin's girlfriend now is in play.
Yeah, everyone thought that was the official one.
Like,
but
oh, I thought that was the real girlfriend. Oh, that was a fake one the whole time? That was a fake girlfriend? Like, oh, okay. All right, well, they must really want to show that this is the real Austin's girlfriend now. Okay, anyway, so we got a lot to talk about here tonight. We're live on robiswebsite.com. We're going to take your tweets. I'm sure you guys have a lot of questions for Jason. We'll get to as many as we can here in the next hour or so. Hashtag RHAP, and then also post them on our YouTube channel at robhasawebsite.com/YouTube. It will be the return of the Big Brother voicemail show coming tomorrow. Jordan Parhar, host of reality TV Happy Hour here on Rob Has a Podcast. He's going to be joining us to talk about everything going on in the world of Big Brother. To get your questions in, robhasawebsite.com/voicemail or 323-282-RHAP. That's going to be on Monday afternoon. We'll get that going for you guys as well. So looking forward to that. And let's get into it. Jason, how has the summer been outside of the Big Brother house?
Well, it's been nice. I wanted to spend my entire summer in there, obviously. So I wasn't necessarily expecting to have a summer, but it's been nice to be home and see people. My area is really a small, so like I'm really like recognized, or like everywhere I go, someone approaches me. So it's just really, it's funny and it doesn't feel like real life yet.
It's like Governor New York.
Supermarket. It's like living in New York. I don't know nothing about living in New York.
No, Governor New York.
Oh, wait.
Hometown of Steve.
Oh.
Steve Moses.
What was his, like, go home video? All I know is if they came here, there wouldn't have been no damn parade.
They didn't give you the key to the city?
No, I would not have been given the key to the city. That's for damn sure.
All right. Well, how has the reception been, from the Big Brother fans since you've been out? Very positive, or have people been critical?
I think it's positive, and I don't mind the critical, because I am, like, I wasn't there just to be, like, a jester. I actually, like, know the game and love the game and think about the game. So it's one of those, like, when someone says, you did this wrong, or, like, your game even sucked, I'm like, my game did suck, because I'm sitting out here right now. Like, so you have to sort of take everything and absorb it all. So I'm taking the good and the bad. In the bad, it doesn't hurt. I mean, listen to my mouth. I've been batting people the whole game.
Okay. Now, has it been frustrating for you to watch the season? I know it's frustrating for you to be outside of the house, but the game as it's played out since you've been gone, because it really was a big shift in the house after you left. And then right after that, James got the HOH, and then it looked like, okay, now, and it was like Clelly paid the price for you going out. But then it's almost like after that, things sort of went back to how they were leading up to you going out of the house.
Exactly. I think we had, like, that was a big spurt in the middle of the season. It was they really showed their cards taking me out, and therefore I love that James took them out, like, in my honor. But it's now kind of how it was the first couple weeks, where everyone is sort of sitting back and nobody is really trying to necessarily take a power move. They're just giving the HOH or whoever what they want.
And also, let me just set up. So in the first part of the show, we're going to just talk about the stuff from the TV show. And then about halfway through, we'll start to talk about the spoilers. So just try to talk about things as we get. It's just you didn't do anything yet. I just don't get too ahead of us.
Was asked, like, do you guys spoilers or not?
Yeah, we're half and half. We go we do it both ways, Jason.
Okay.
So we'll go ahead and in terms of through tonight's episode. Now, it's been frustrating, I think, for a lot of viewers, and we saw a lot on them tonight on Jason and Grandma Meg throughout this. And I know that's your After Dark crew. Those were your people inside of the house. What's it been like for you watching those two players in particular these last couple of weeks? You know, creating this brass tacks alliance, but sort of just seemingly being very passive at this point in the game.
Right. I mean, I love them for their personality. Our relationship was based on personality and, like, real friendship and not necessarily game. Especially on the outside, I'm like, they need me, because I was the only one who was telling them, like, better aggressive game moves. They are they play very defensively, and they just sort of, like, wait until, uh-oh, I guess we might be the target now. And creating the brass tacks, I think, in the moment, it seemed like a good idea. It obviously kept them the last maybe like 2 weeks, because they could have easily been the targets instead of Johnny Mac. So I necessarily think that wasn't a bad game for move for them. But if I was there, it would have never happened, because we weren't talking to Austin for nothing. So it's one of those, like, maybe I had to leave for them to progress their game in a different manner. But if I was there, there was no way the brass tacks would have ever happened.
There was some thought when they targeted you initially. They said that, you know, Jason is the brains on that side of the house. And, you know, that sort of talk gets thrown around a lot in the Big Brother house, but it does really seem like that might have been the case.
I don't necessarily know if I was the brains, but maybe I said I wanted to be the gay glue for the Girls Alliance. It didn't happen. I didn't like half them hoes. But I ended up being the glue for like the weird misfit people. And I was the person before I left that really could have connected Jackie and James and Meg. Because me and Jackie had been playing game the whole time, and I had been playing game with James and Meg, but they were still like a disjointed group. I was the only one that could have, like, made us a real alliance. But them getting me out made that happen anyway. Then they realized, okay, well, this is our alliance.
Now, we saw a moment in the episode tonight, which I thought was really, really interesting, of James and Meg talking about how, hey, do you remember that deal that we made with Vanessa that was, and it was almost like a perfect thing. Where it was like, hey, if I get HOH before the final seven, then you get to not only not be nominated, but you also get to have one other VIP, one other plus one who doesn't get to go up on the block. And it's like, wow, oh, this is perfect. And they're like, you think we should remind her of that? And I'm like, no, we don't want to piss her off. So what the hell is the point of making a deal in the Big Brother house if you can't even mention that you have a deal?
Right. If you're not going to ask about the deal, if you're going to just accept it and then blindly think, yeah, there's some deal and never reapproach it, mm-hmm. you can't really see it as a real deal. And plus, Vanessa's deals are crap. I mean, come on. I bought a Vito off of her for 4 cigarettes. That shows her level of, come on.
Yeah, to be fair to them, she wasn't going to uphold the deal if they had brought it up.
Of course.
But yeah, the fact of that, we're like, well, we can't say anything about it. Yeah. We'll piss her off.
Then she'll know we're curious about it. You should be curious about it.
Yeah, why make a deal in the first place if you're going to say, like, well, we can't hold her to it? She'll get mad. It's a little bit like my negotiations with my wife at the house. Sometimes if I said, my wife will say, like, oh, if you do this for me, I'll do this for you. But then if I'm like, oh, she didn't do what she said she was going to do. But if I bring it up, it's going to be a big fight. She's going to get mad at me. So I better not say anything about it. But this is not a game for $500,000.
That's true. That's true. Yes. But, you know, Meg and James are, as much as I love them to death, they're not like BB people. They're like normal rest of the world demographic people. So I almost like don't fault them for their lack of game, because they're just like, we're on a TV show. We're going to sleep all day. Did you see my bangs? Like, it's not, they're not on the level of like a Vanessa.
Now, do you think that if Meg wasn't in the house, that James would end up becoming much more focused on the game? Because to me, it really does seem like that, whether it's platonic or not on his part, it seems like he does follow Meg around the house like a puppy dog, and is always, you know, following Meg around. And that's the real prize in the game, is Meg. If for some reason Meg wasn't around, do you think that James would then turn into the Terminator?
I would hope so, but I think James plays this game very, I don't want to say emotionally, but it's very like whoever he's closest to is who he really wants to work with. So I can see him then trying to work with Austin, and he'd probably try to final two it with Austin, which would probably never work out either. So James is going to have a hard road whichever way he goes. But I think that if Meg goes, he is going to lose his distraction. He'll have nothing else but the game and like Austin's musty basement smelling behind. Like, it wouldn't necessarily, he'd be able to definitely dive deeper into this game, because at this point he has kind of floated.
All right, talk to me about the Aust twins and what has been your take about them, because isn't it really amazing that they've gotten this far, the three of them?
It floors me. It floors me, because I am such like a Big Brother 5 is my favorite season. I went in there being like, they're twins, they're triplets, everyone's a twin but me. Like, I was so ready for all of it. And to see these people like not play their role. Like, Big Brother's role is to put that twist in and hope it happens. The twins' role are to survive and make sure the twist happens. Our role is to figure the twins out and get them hookers home. Like, we just did not do our role at all. Everyone was just like, no, it's okay, it's okay. Imagine if we did get the twins out. That would have pretty much been two opportunities to for people to come back. The jurors would have, they would have let two jurors back in the house to make the series work right.
Now, what is it about the twins that people haven't targeted them? Because you really don't even hear very much about it in the house of people going after them. What is it about them? Is there a perception that they're not bright, or people just feel like that they're just bigger fish to fry at all times?
I think it's the bigger fish to fry. You really, because they were busy switching in and out and really not trying to build really that much of a relationship with anyone, they did not even seem like a relevant person in the house until like day 21.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it wasn't until like the day before Devon went home that she was even mildly relevant. Okay. So I think it's because other people showed their ass way before that. That it's like, oh, we'll leave Liz. Oh, she's a twin. Oh, well, she's still not that good. We'll leave her. And I didn't think we really saw she was that good until James dragged his feet during the painting comp and she did it all herself.
Talk to me about Johnny Mac in particular. Now, he goes out and then he comes back into the house this week. He's been a very popular character on this show. But what's your take on Johnny Mac? Were you a fan of his in the house, or you were sort of neutral to him?
I was a fan of Johnny Mac, but from afar, that it doesn't sound like super creepery. Me and Johnny Mac, even that first week when I put him up, I said, listen, John, I don't know what to do. At that point, people really weren't talking game to me. They were talking game to James, and I was like James Handy Boy that everyone was like, we don't know about him yet. Like, so James pretty much promised everyone safety, and I was left with no one left to pick. So I say to Johnny Mac, Johnny, I might have to put you up. It's nothing against you. He seemed like a real loner at that point, and he always does. He's someone who sits alone like Steve. Like, he's not always in the mix with people. And Johnny was really nice about it, and really from then on, we had like a weird, like, if it comes down to it, I would have your back. If you really needed my vote, I would go to Johnny and ask for a vote. Or, I mean, obviously the week that I went out, it wasn't relevant. But at first I was thinking, okay, Johnny, in normal life, me and Johnny were probably two really weird people that would get along. It's just in there, you just find yourself in different little groups. And I was never really down with Johnny Mac, but I always really enjoyed him. And obviously the stuff that comes out of his mouth.
Do you feel like he's been a strong player, or do you feel like that he's also been somebody that's in over his head? Give me, as a Big Brother historian, right, give me your perspective on Johnny Mac and his gameplay, because I think that's the person, probably, you know, him, Vanessa, Steve, it's really all over the map in terms of some people, all three of those people, some people tell you they're really good and other people tell you that they're terrible.
Right. Well, I would say, especially when it comes to Johnny Mac, I think he's good on a comp basis. Johnny Mac can win these things. He's like a James Ryan who can win a bunch of vetoes, or he's like a Frank Audie who can like win a bunch of competitions. But when it comes to the like social game, well, not necessarily James Ryan, but like Frank Audie, when it comes to the social game, it's sort of similar to that, where I don't think the social game is as strong. But if it comes down to, can you win a competition? Johnny's more capable than half those folks.
Okay.
Well, we should definitely talk about Vanessa.
Okay, well, of course, let's get into Vanessa, who was the HOH who sort of came up with this idea of, we need to go after Jason. So what do you think of her? Do you have does game respect game, or do you feel like she's been all over the place? Because you were very positive about her when we last spoke. You said basically like Shelly is evil personified, and Vanessa, I think that she's, you know, pretty good. And it really did seem like, you know, Clay and Shelly, while they were guilty, but it seemed like that the mastermind of all of it was Vanessa.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely Vanessa's game move. It was Vanessa's decision. She's the one who has to pull the trigger regardless of what everyone and their mama says. But it's a game respect game. It's like if the team that beat you in the bracket is the team that wins, you feel like you came in second. So, like, let Vanessa win, because then I'll be like, Vanessa knew she had to get me out because I would have aimed for Vanessa. I think that Vanessa has had a good little bit of minions around her, and she's been able to always make her real moves because of her minions, and her Shelly and Clay were really her minions. But when you're in there, you don't see everything. It really looks like, oh, it's Shelly and Clay are the ones that are running it, because Vanessa didn't have that persona when I was in the house, at least until she put me up. And then I think her persona really changed with pretty much everyone in the house. I think even people that were in her alliance were then saw, okay, Vanessa's playing really hard. She was just going to backdoor one of us, now has changed her mind and is backdooring someone she made an alliance with 3 days ago. But forget about it, because she's just going to flip either way. Like, it's next week, she might do the opposite. She might backdoor one of my side and then decide, actually, let's do Austin again. So I think she showed even her alliance that Vanessa's word is trash. She says she's the most honest. Her word is trash. But I respect her trash word because she's so good at it.
Do you think you have a good read on how she's being perceived in the house? Particularly like if she makes it to the end, because I don't think she's going to own her game. I think she's going to keep spouting the I'm a straight shooter
thing.
Honest.
Yeah, I think she's going to run that one to the ground, because I think she's someone who has lied to herself so much that she actually believes that.
Exactly.
But I don't think even in a final two scenario, she'd have to be up there with someone I don't know. People might vote for Steve to win, but if it was like Vanessa versus Steve, the jury is going to give it to Vanessa. But in a lot of scenarios, I don't see Vanessa as winning. This year, people are going to be bitter. It's a big group that worked together for a long time. down at the end, pretty much filling up the whole jury, and they've all done each other dirty. So they're going to be bitter by the end of it.
You know, that's a really interesting point that you bring up. And I don't know how big of a Survivor, you know, fan you are and how well you know all those seasons, but it almost feels to me like the situation that you're describing is kind of like Coach in Survivor South Pacific, where he got to the end with his group and he was the leader. And then he got talked about, like, I got here with honor and loyalty and integrity, and I was always honorable. And a bunch of people are on the jury like, no, you weren't. No, you weren't. And I always say it's like a magic trick throughout the entire portion of the game. And then at the final tribal council or the final two in Big Brother, then you show everybody how you did the trick. And it's right. time
you
to
say,
stop
sorry,
saying
I'm
that.
The worst person ever. You know, it's then it being like, no, I really did all you so well. And you're like, that's why we're out here waving at you through a TV screen.
Yeah. And I had to do all these things because it was the only way I could beat you guys. You guys are so good. It's the only way I could beat you guys. I had to do this. I had to lie. I had to trick you, but it was all to get to this point. And But you're right. I could see Vanessa sort of getting up there and being like, you know, I had to be the most honest person in this house and I had to do all this. And if she, it'll really be a sort of a litmus test on the whole thing this season, because I've been so fascinated by, is she intentionally manipulating people emotionally, or is she just so emotional and that she gets it twisted herself that she feels like these people really are just of trying, really are hurting her and betraying her at every turn and not just playing the game? Because it's like anybody else that makes a game move, she sees it as that, you know, this was such a emotional betrayal of her as a person, not just what happened in the game.
Right. I think, I would like to say, in respect for her game, I'm hoping she knows what she's doing, but she is an emotional person. And I think it might just be happening, and it just so happens to really make her paranoid and play really hard. But she was like, she was thinking of saboteurs like I was thinking of America's Player, but she thought there was an America's Player, a saboteur, that every prop in the house meant something. Like, she was way too deep to, like, so I think the emotional thing is like subconscious and not pre-planned to try to manipulate emotionally the other people, because she's an emotional wreck her damn self.
Let's talk a little bit about Steve also, because, you know, you guys always were sort of had this thing that you were the one super fan and he was the other super fan, but it seemed like you guys could never quite get on the same page. What have you thought about Steve's game this season? Because I have to be honest, I never thought he would make it this far, because we always compared him to Ian in the beginning of the season. And I said, I didn't think that he was an Ian. I felt like that Ian became a beloved person in the house, and I really didn't see it happening with Steve. Like, Ian sort of became like the mascot in the house, and people really right. loved having him around. And I never saw Steve endearing himself in that way. But look at him. He's here in the final eight, and he looks like he's back in Vanessa's good graces. So what do you make of Steven? Do you feel like he has a shot to win this game?
I think everyone still in there has a shot. Yeah, this game can flip in a second. So everyone in there has a shot. I think that Steve, depending who he's against, he could have a shot to win. But Steve, me and Steve especially, never really connected. And that was on necessarily personality basis, because Steve is just really an awkward person sometimes. So even if we can talk like Big Brother all day, every day, you're so awkward. So I think Steve did become a mascot for some people in that house. Like, he was a mascot for Vanessa, and the twins always like loved and coddled him. He was like a little mascot for some people. But my side of the house, the Jeff, Jackie, Goblins, After Dark crew, he was not our mascot. He was not entertaining us. He was the kid that we like let out a big sigh when he came by, because you just were like, what is he doing?
Okay, so what is he doing? How has he been able to do it?
You know, I wish I really knew what he was doing, because in the house you wonder that, and I'm on the outside, and I think I know what everyone's doing now, except Steve, because he's really just like talking to cameras and putting things in vases and like being mildly silly. But I do love that, like, I haven't really watched that much of live feed things, but people send me stuff. So people were like saying, like, Jason, we watched you like study days late at night. And I watched Steve do that the other day. So a part of my game is like, or his game is seeing like, Steve does know this stuff, and I'm glad someone is studying, because I tried to make my goblins study that, and they were just like, no, Jason, that's your job. Like, James did not even want to try to remember the days.
Yeah, it's interesting. This is sort of like Silence of the Lambs, where it's like you're the Hannibal Lecter in captivity, but it's like, oh, there's another super fan on the loose in the house, and we need you to help break down what he's doing.
One super fan to kill another. Well, yes. Steve got me first. And I liked the get to step in. Everyone's like, do you feel some type of way? Like, no, I'm a BB person. Like, my final speech was like the Danielle Donato Cliff Notes, and he gave me a classic get to step in. So I love it.
Okay. All right. Taryn, what else with Jason?
I don't know. I'm sure you have a lot to say about Austin and Liz.
Yeah. Well, they're like, I'm my greatest achievement in life.
What a setup.
Coming out and seeing that my perception of people is on line with a lot of other people in the world. I'm glad. I expected to come out and be loathed. I thought Twitter was going to think I'm the worst thing to ever happen to humanity. I was expecting the feed chat room to be like, burn down this kid's house. And to come out and see that the people that I absolutely cannot even stand the sight of are the people that America can't stand the sight of. The people who are probably cast because everyone knows no one can stand the sight of them. So it just makes me feel like, okay, I actually have a good head on my shoulders. And I wasn't like the one being like, I hate them. And America is like, they were baby Jesus on a platter.
I was thinking about this because usually America typically likes the showmances that happen in the Big Brother house. I feel like they typically do appreciate them. Has there been a more unlikable showmance than Austin and Liz?
Well, I say this about every BB season. Every year it's different, different twists, different people. You could put the same cast in, have them do the same competitions, and it would always end up differently. Like, there's always so many other moves that can be made. So it's hard to compare them, because if we took Shelly and Clay and put them in maybe the couple season of 13, we may have loved Shelly and Clay. So you never really know. It's really about who you're stuck in there with and what that brings out of you.
Well, I'm not talking about Clay and Shelly so much. I'm really talking about Liz and Austin.
Liz and Austin. Well, I think they were just damned from the beginning. Like, Liz is there to be a trash bag and Austin smells like a dumpster. So, like, they were built for each other and that is what it is. I'm going to have to fight people at finale night. I have been talking too much trash lately, but all of Twitter keeps telling me that I better drag these people on finale night.
People on Twitter, this is what they love.
Yes. Yeah,
this is what they want. You know, they want people to come out and keep it real and, you know, say what they're thinking about all these people. Who have you been in contact with that's also outside of the house from this season? Obviously Davon, right?
Yes. I've talked to Davon quite a bit on the phone. Yeah. I talked to Audrey the other day. Well, I've been talking to her, but I talked to her on the phone the other day. I've really kept it, even all the BB alum that hit you up. It's really weird for me because the BB alum are like, you guys are just like celebrities to me. Like, I'm like scared to reply or like text them because they're like, no, call me all the time. And I'm like, no, like, you don't want to hear my annoying voice. You're amazing. Like, you don't want to be my friend. I'm a trash bag. And with the people on the outside, there's still a little bit of, as even if the world has decided we can't stand this person, they were still sort of my roommate for like 2 months. So there's still some sort of relationship or bond. So I've tried to keep it very kosher with everyone, but I'm not one of these naive people that think we're all going to like sing kumbaya to each other and be best friends for the next year. I'll probably email like four of them and that will be what it boils down to.
Yeah. BB alumni talking all stars with you. Got to work on alliances?
No. But I wish. They just keep saying if there is like an all-stars or like a somehow people coming back, they're all like, I hope that you're there. And I'm like, yeah, me too, because he needs a damn check. So, hey, the minute they announce that, hit me up. We down for a final two.
Yeah. Look, we just did Survivor Second Chance.
Exactly. And the Big Brother All-Stars was right after Survivor All-Stars, if I think I remember correctly.
Yeah, it was within a couple of years, yeah.
Oh, okay. I was thinking that was like the hot commodity. So let's do some second chances, give my lame ass another chance in, and they'll be like looking at like J. Roy 9,000. Because I was on 3,000 in there. And next year
you're the new Zingbot.
I'm the new Zingbot. Zingbot disappointed.
You didn't like what he said.
No, I always like what Zingbot says because Zingbot is iconic. But yes. Zingbot has had so many better ones. And maybe it's just a reflection on the trash bags we have in the house compared to like his zings for former seasons.
Yeah. Well, the one that everybody seemed to like was when he talked about how Liz, like Austin thinks you're so special. Are you going to meet first his mom, his dad, or his girlfriend? That was the one that really was very, really got a lot of traction.
Oh, yeah. And it does have traction, but it's almost... Austin needed like 70 zings and they could have found something else for Liz. Like zinging Liz with Austin's girlfriend is like just whatever to me. That's Austin's zing. He got double zinged and she was like, you have a girlfriend? Like Liz doesn't even know where she lives.
Yeah, were you surprised that Liz accepted the official girlfriend invitation after that? Because she seemed upset the last time we saw her.
Well, what else is she going to do? She's not trying to end up with Buffalo Bill in a hole in a basement. Like, put the lotion on your skin. So she just has to say whatever until she can finally get away and change her name and address.
And she did ask him, is this because of the zing yesterday? When he asked.
Did production set that up? That seemed very odd. Like, it was almost like they had won some reward in a competition that they were having, like, some sort of, like, private date up there, Taryn. What was going on there?
They set up, like, a date night for themselves in the HOH. I think she was still HOH at the time.
Oh, so it was probably her wine. I was going to say, because you just don't have a dinner date in there for nothing. Someone better give you some wine. So you either got the HOH wine or someone hasn't gotten a delivery from the storage cabinet.
Now, Jason, some people felt like the Zingbot was over the line with you on Twitter.
The first one, I was like, come on, Zingbot. Like, I am Zingbot 9000. All I did was Brittany Haynes everyone the entire time I was in there. So, like, I was Brittany and Monet had a baby together, and it was me.
Oh, wow.
And, you're like, ooh. Now I lost my train of thought, being like, what if Brittany and Monet had a baby? What if... So I expected, like, I think I gave them plenty of fodder. You can go any which way with me. Like, but I think I'm self-deprecating to begin with. Like, you really can't zing me because I zing myself every day. So it was like whatever shots. It's like, of course, they were cliche. Of course you go for, like, the basement thing. Of course you go for, like, it's cliche things where I think my personality, I gave you, like, 40 other million things to tear apart. And I would have rather had them tear apart. Like, I would have rather have them call me Pee Wee Herman. Because I come out and there's like pictures of me on Pee Wee Herman's body and I'm just like, of course.
With the people that came back into the house with this competition that they had, I feel like this would have been a good competition for you if you were one of those people on that swing. Were you thinking that when you were watching the competition play out?
Every comp they've done since I left was a good comp for me. They waited for all of my comps. The minute I left, they're like, oh, stand on this wall. Like, I would have been on that wall right now. Like, they would have had to, like, extend the week. And I'd still be hanging on the damn spinny thing. It kills my soul to see some of these endurance comps. Thanks God the wall wasn't like this. But to see some of these endurance comps end so quickly. Like, I'm BB 5 days. You better stand there and press that button for 9 hours and 51 minutes. Like, I'm trying to rise with the sun. I'm not someone that's going to fall off in 10 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, that contest was over real quick. I mean, if you are not somebody that follows the live feeds, when we did our show the other night, the competition was over for 10 minutes by the time we started at 10:15.
Right.
That was
fast. I was running home trying to get home in time, and I already was like, what? It's done?
Yeah. So what were you hoping for? That Jackie was going to get back into the house?
I was hoping for that. And yeah. I don't necessarily know how that would turn out in the long-term gameplay for anyone on my side. It might just make them a big threesome target again. Obviously, they have a target this week regardless. But I love Jackie. Jackie was my girl forever. Me and Jackie made each other laugh in there. So, of course, I'd love Jackie to get a chance to get some money. More than, like, Shelly, who probably don't need a dime, and, like, Becky, who did nothing but be, like, a live-in servant and wash towels. So, yeah, that house is probably absolutely disgusting now, because all Becky did was clean. Like, she was actually a member of production that they planted in the house, who was just meant to clean.
Yeah, I did feel like Jack, you really could have been somebody else that could have, you know, kicked Megan James into overdrive into and shit. Really said, yes. Like, guys, like, you don't understand. Like, this is our shot. We have to do this.
Yep. Jackie was always playing smart. And that's probably one of the things when, you know, when you come out and you see how things are perceived differently, you're seeing that, like, for the first couple weeks, Jackie isn't necessarily playing, or it doesn't even look like Jeff's playing. Jeff was playing hard. Mm-hmm. Like, Jackie was Jeff's wingman, and that made it known that Jackie's playing too. So I think at first people really had this misconception of, like, he is the girl that's gonna, like, lift her leg and yell, or, like, she's here to be the beautiful brunette chick. But Jackie is a smart girl, so I think she would have been able to make some smart moves. And no offense to Megan James, I don't know if they got in power again, would they have made the smart move, or will they make the smart move? I don't know.
Okay. Now, In terms of the people that are left here in the game, who do you think is the person that has the best chance to win the whole thing?
Well, I think the best chance to win is probably a Vanessa. The best chance to get into a final two chair is probably Vanessa. Depending on how she gets there, we'll decide if she wins or she doesn't. But if Johnny Mac can keep rolling down, I see Johnny Mac as a winner. I had a dream while I was in the house that Liz won, and she was really ghetto and ignorant about it and was like, I won. So, if Liz does win, then Diane Warwick better call me, or Dionne Warwick better call me, and I'm going to be like a psychic hotline friend or something, because I predicted that like the week I went home. But I'll be half mortified if Liz wins.
Taryn, didn't Audrey say that she also had that same dream recently?
Well, I don't know if Audrey has said that on the outside, but Audrey said she had a lot of dreams in there, and some of them weren't like the most far off thing from the world, but they were also like, come on, we can all say we had some general dream about cookies, like we made cookies every night.
Yeah.
But she told me that she had a dream that I won. Oh. She told Johnny Mac that she had a dream that Johnny Mac won. So I think she was just telling everyone, like, did you know that you're the winner?
There was a funny conversation between Vanessa and Johnny Mac where Vanessa said, you know, Audrey had a dream that you won. He was like, did she have a dream that I was evicted too? She was like, no.
Yeah, that's a great point about Johnny Mac being evicted. Now, Jason, do you feel like Johnny Mac can win the game? Do you think anybody will hold it against him? They're like, you were evicted. I can't vote for you.
You know, I think if he would have actually gone to jury house, and this is the problem with people when they come back, everyone is quick to send them off again because they've really been out of the house and gone. The lack of time that he's been out of these people's faces. I mean, he talked to Julie Chen for 10 minutes and then came back in and said hi to everyone. Mm-hmm. So I think that if any returning juror ever has a chance to get down there and still have the jury's respect to win, it's someone that's never seen the jury house like Johnny Mac.
Yeah,
they're really treating it like a reset more than it was like somebody getting evicted and coming back.
Interesting.
Right. I mean, it would have been different, say it had been Shelly or something. Then it would have been like, oh, it's a buyback. But yeah. I think it just feels like there was a reset button and Johnny Mac's just still there.
I know you guys have so many questions. Let's get to some of your questions with Jason. This is from Dan, who says, as soon as the HOH was announced during this fine show last Thursday, didn't most of us know who the nominees would be?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, that was always the assumption. She gets in power. She was picking away at the same little group. I mean, unless Vanessa flips her damn head like usual and picks someone crazy, because she does that.
That's always a possibility with Vanessa. So this is from...
They're predictable, but they're not that predictable. I would almost expect her maybe to go after the... Well, she would never go after the twins. But, you know, do some sort of real game move. I don't think Megan James is that good of a game move.
Okay. Let's go to Nick 2S. I didn't like Vanessa's rationale that James and Meg had to be the ones to manufacture a reason for Vanessa to target the Austrians when she already saw merit to it. Thoughts? Okay. Let's just talk about Vanessa and her conversations with Megan James. I thought that was really interesting. And something that was very fascinating about that, I thought this was a good pickup by Vanessa when she was like, would either of you guys end up being pawns on the block? And then Meg is crying like, oh, don't put me on the block. Don't put James. And James is like, no, put me. Don't put Meg. And so she was like, boy, this makes them a bigger target than I even thought, because they're so love each other.
I mean, you're showing your cards out on the table. You're saying we'll die for each other in this game, and you can't let people know that. And I mean, that was my flaw too. People knew I would die for Davon in the game. So it was like, the minute people see they're willing to do everything for the other person, that's a threat, because that's James and Meg are twin sisters at this point.
I think part of it, her wanting them to come up with something that she can use against Austin the twins, was wanting to know that they'd be on board with her if she did make that move, because she can't make that move if they're still kind of separate from her. So right. When they were kind of hesitant to give her information, she was like, well, I can't make this move without you guys. So, and I'm not going to, you know, put the probe out there and let you use the information against me. So.
Yeah, that was sort of an interesting conversation. She was like, so, got any information for me? And they're like, no, not really.
See, that's why my social game sucked, because I was like, no, I don't have any information. Like, what the hell? Why? Like, even one time, Audrey, Clay, and Shelley put me on the spot in the bathroom when they were like, so who are your two targets next week? And I was just like, do you think I'm like 9? Do you think like I started watching the show in 2012? I'm not telling you shit.
All right, let's go to some more questions. Johnny DeSilvera, the great Johnny DeSilvera, says, how close to nominations did James remember Vanessa's promise of safety? Taryn, do you know this?
I think it was the night before, but I'm not positive.
Okay.
Well, I mean, they never really talked to her about it, so it didn't really end up mattering.
All right, this is Ginny, who says, has Vanessa ever upheld a deal? It seems like she's simultaneously less trustworthy and more adamant about her loyalty each week.
I mean, I think that she does have some deals in there that she has remained good to, although she flipped on them in her mind. She never really made the real move against them. So I think maybe people like Austin probably could honestly trust Vanessa, but I couldn't. None of her deals with me were ever good, so...
No,
it's
Dark
all depending
Moon.
Who it is. Well, Dark Moon was a trash bag, smoke screen. It was not relevant at all.
But hold
we
on,
should
Taryn,
have known
was...
naming it that it was going to be poison.
When she made it though, was Dark Moon for real?
When she made it, Dark Moon was for real. Because that week before, she had spent the whole time in the purple bedroom with me and Meg, and it was the first time that we were like, I think we actually like know Vanessa a little bit. Like, I damn helped her study for that friggin' HOH. So I was thinking that I had a working relationship with Vanessa. So when it was like, oh, Vanessa wants to unite all the people I'm already working with her and Shelley and Clay, like, sure, let's do this. Who cares? Like, those are all the people that I was talking game to anyway. So I was like, this is perfect. Like, this is the best alliance ever. But that should have also been a red flag. Like, there is never going to be no best alliance ever. You're always going to have one link in your chain that is cracked.
Will Northrup says, over under on Liz and Austin dates after the finale is 2. What do you think, Jason? Higher or lower than 2 dates for Liz? I mean, be real here. Tell me, so do you think this is going to work out?
Higher, because he's going to kidnap her and bring her all over California. So he's going to be bringing her into like show her off at every single person that he's ever met.
Right.
He'll probably like try to bring her to Florida and show him her like old wrestling men and stuff. So she is probably going to have far too much time with him. But that is probably what's going to seal his fate with her, because then she'll realize you have always been a D-bag.
Well, tell me if you think that there's something to this. I mean, Austin is a guy that he is a fan of the show, and he's done like, you know, podcasting and like reporting about the show. And he has to know that a lot of times these people, and I remember I'm watching like After Buzz TV, and he's talking about Big Brother 15, and he had to have seen like the McCranda stuff and how they've sort of had a lot of popularity outside of the show. Do you feel like he's like, okay, this is my McCranda, this is my Brenchel, this is my Jeff and Jordan, and as when we get out of the house, you know, he's a professional wrestler also, you know, when we get out of the house, we'll be so popular, much more so than I would have been on my own, but we're going to be Liz Tin out of the house, and Liz will be so much more popular and recognizable when we're together. And then if that ultimately doesn't happen, which I don't suspect that it's really going to take, that's when I feel like Liz is going to be like, okay.
Liz is a fame whore too. So
oh
it's
God.
Very.
Sorry.
It's very possible that Liz will probably fake it with him for a month or so. So they get like the 100,000 Instagram followers they wanted, and they get to stunt for a second like they're a friggin' celebrity or some trash. So it's one of those, like, I think they have quite a few dates in their future. It's not going to work out in the real life, but it may work out for their self-serving agendas.
Yeah.
Are you guys like dazed now? Like, what's going on?
My favorite Julia quote ever is, we were talking about where you'd like to live in the country. And Clay says he'd like to live somewhere near his family. And she said, oh, so anywhere in the United States. And the whole room was just like, okay, Liz, sure. And that was really what showed me, like, at first I was like, these girls aren't dumb. One of them is dumb. Actually, they both kind of are.
So what are you saying, that Julia is the smart one?
I don't know. After the anywhere in the United States comment, Liz, Julia looked like the dumb one. I think Julia is the strong one, but Liz is the intelligent one. Not, and that's like saying she's intelligent, like, okay, Liz is a rock and Clay, Julia is like a pile of hay. Like, they're both not smart, but like the rock might have a little bit more capacity to hold the smartness in.
The rock is smarter than hay. Okay.
Yeah, like that's like rock, paper, scissors or something.
On a scale of hay to rock.
Rock beats hay. Yes.
Because the Zingbot said that Liz was the smart one.
I mean, Liz is probably the smart one, but that's like saying one dog is smarter than another dog.
Where does dog is? So it's dog, rock, hay?
Yeah, it'd be dog, rock, hay. And then Austin would be like sand, like low hay.
Peel Away says, question for Jason, who do you view as the most responsible for your eviction, Shelly or Vanessa, and why?
Oh, well, Vanessa.
Vanessa, right.
But there is a certain amount that gets put on, like, the Shelly and Clay, because I really did not have any game with Vanessa pre-Dark Moon. Where I did have game with Shelly and Clay, and me and Meg pretty much sold our souls to them back in the week that I had almost gone and Vanessa used the veto. So we really would have been good to Shelly and Clay. So I'm glad to see they got their comeuppance, because they were the only two that could have saved me. I would have beat James on the wall, and I wouldn't have targeted them. I obviously would have targeted Vanessa, because she had just tried to backdoor me. But it's one of those things where game moves happen, and only one person can pull the trigger. Everyone can have the idea, but it was Vanessa's decision. So obviously Vanessa's responsible, but Clay and Shelly are the reasons I couldn't get the votes. So they're both responsible in their own ways.
Okay, let's take this question from Harry Schaefer, who says, is the double eviction coming up the last good chance anyone has to start sending out the Oz twins?
I mean, it's their opportunity. It's got to be. If they do not do that, call it a wash, because they're sailing now. It's one of those situations where you have to pull the trigger eventually. Everyone likes to wait in this game and say, it's too soon, it's too soon, it's too soon. I'm like, it's never too soon. Week two, like this year, it was never too soon. It was big moves the whole time. If all of a sudden everyone is like, it's too soon to do the twins, especially during a double eviction, I'm going to slap them in the head at finale night.
I mean, there's 8 people in the house right now. After Thursday, if people don't take out the Oz twins in the first or second eviction, they're going to be half the house. There's going to be 6 people in the house, and 3 of them are going to be Austin, Liz, and Julia. Like, if that does not have you pooping your pants in the Big Brother house. Like,
that
I don't
can't
know.
Happen. Feeders will kill themselves everywhere.
I'm convinced that if anybody but Austin, Liz, or Julia win the HOH and the double, that they will be targeted.
Okay. We'll see.
I mean, hopefully they'll probably do the twins, but I think it would have been, I mean, just because the twins are a little bit dumb and they're always going to take each other, but that's valid and known. I think for me still, I think taking out an Austin or Vanessa makes your life a little bit easier for the last couple weeks to get down there. It's a little bit easier to compete with Tweedledee and Tweedledum.
You know what I bet would be really funny? Like, if Liz got evicted on Thursday in either part of the eviction, and I feel like Austin after that would just be like the, I have to fight for her honor. Like, he would just be really,
exactly.
He would get like really carried away with it.
Yeah.
Really funny.
But he would, I mean, that's what he wants to do. That would just add to his status more. He talked about that. He wanted to get in the Big Brother house and have a girl jump into his arms when they won. And that was like his crowning achievement in life. So when she won the dumb throw paint on the walls con, they had their little moment and I vomited in my damn mouth. So like, of course he's going to go the total like Brendan Rachel, like, how dare you do this to us? You did this to us. How dare you do that to her? He's going to do the full nines.
He told Steve about the goodbye message where he said, no one separates me from my twins or whatever, like parodying Rachel. And Steve was like, whoa, Austin, we have to talk.
Like, yeah. Austin. Even Steve's like, that's really awkward. Don't do
that. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Let's do another one. This is from Jeremiah M. Why is everyone so willing to fall on their sword for their best friend or showmance in this house? This ain't no lover's paradise. This is Big Brother. Hashtag, yeah. Oh my Lanta.
Oh my Lanta.
Yes.
I'm so mortified by that clip.
By the way, now, I watched the Full House documentary last week, and that was DJ Tanner's catchphrase.
Exactly.
Oh my, is that a tribute to DJ Tanner?
You know, I didn't even know what Nestle was that. You want to know where it actually really comes from? One of my best friends says it around her nieces and nephews because they were like saying, oh my God. And we were like, no, 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 no. You're like too young to be saying that. Say, oh my Lanta. And we all just been saying, oh my Lanta for like years now. Now, looking back and people have sent me the Full House clips, I'm like, that probably is where it comes from. I'm a 90s baby. I was raised by television. So yes. Like, call it childhood brainwashing, but I'm sure that's where it comes
DJ
from.
DJ Tanner is going to be the focal point of the new Fuller House reboot.
I've heard this. And I heard everyone else is going to be like a crackhead. Yeah. Like Bob Saget gets fired for being an alcoholic and stuff. How true to life.
Well, Stephanie Tanner has a lot of experience with that also.
This is true. Are they putting her crack smoking ass on the show too?
Yeah, she's going to be back in the house with DJ.
Oh, see, I'll get Netflix just for that.
Yeah, yes. There's going to be more people in the Full House than there are after Thursday in the Big Brother house.
That's true. It's really weird. This is about the point of every year where I stop watching feeds anyway, even if I like the people, because I'm like, I'm so bored with y'all.
Yeah, no, it gets less fun when there's less people in the house with the feeds. All right. So we've got a lot to talk through about the feeds. I want to hit the buzzer so we can talk about the live feeds. If you're bouncing out now, don't forget we've got our voicemail show with Jordan Parhar tomorrow. So get your voicemails in robiswebsite.com/voicemail or 323-282-RHAP. Leave us your comments also on Rob's website about this show as well. Let's talk live feeds.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Okay. There you go. Live feeds. Time to talk about it. Okay. So, Taryn, get us caught up to speed with James and Meg on the block going into the veto competition. What are the most recent updates in terms of these nominations?
All right, so the veto competition was the hiding one where you go and you hide a little veto symbol or whatever in the house, and then everyone has to go in and trash the house to try and find it. And I always love that one because somebody's always mad because they ruin their stuff, and it's always fun. And surprise, surprise, James wins this one.
He's good at hiding.
Yes, he's good at hiding.
This is true.
So this actually puts Vanessa in a really terrible spot because she's going to have to put a pawn up next to Meg or put a replacement up that's going to be a target. And no matter what she does, it's probably going to be bad for her. Or if she put, like, it's going to piss someone off if she puts a pawn up from one side or the other. And it's against everyone's best interests to vote out Meg except for her. So she has to do some real, like, convincing. She's kind of relied on making sure that it's in the best interests of the people she's working with to go along with her plans. And it's not the case anymore. So she really has to use her persuasive skills, which she doesn't have a whole lot of. it went back and forth. She was really heavily considering targeting Johnny Mac, putting him up as a backdoor and sending him home. But luckily, I think she was just drunk at the time. She had no idea how terrible a plan that was. And she has since settled on putting Julia up as a pawn. She got Austin the twins to go along with it. And that is the current plan. Meg will be leaving on Thursday.
Okay. How close is that to being locked?
She's relying on Steve and Johnny Mac's votes. And they have promised her their votes. That said, they haven't thought it out all the way through yet. And I'm sure they will at some point. And if they do, they'll realize, hey, if we vote out Julie and flip on Vanessa, then going into the next HOH competition, it'll be 4-on-2 with us and Meg and James. And then if we get one more of those people out, then now we have a group of four instead of a group of, you know, six going down into the end. And we can still drag Vanessa along with us, because where else is she going to go? She's not going to go to Meg and James anymore. So if they really wanted to make a power move, this could be a time to do it. Are they bold enough? I don't know. I don't think so.
How many votes would that take?
They need 3 votes to flip it. So they will have James voting to keep Meg, and then they just need the two of them.
Okay. All right. This seems very doable.
I mean, it would be the perfect redemption for like a Steve. Because obviously he didn't make the smartest move during the double eviction. This would be like his redemption song.
It would be him taking over the game, essentially. Him and Johnny Mac.
Wow. Could we see Johnny Mac and Steve take it down to the end, Jason?
I'd be surprised. But I wouldn't be surprised if either one of them was there with somebody else completely random.
Because I feel like where Steve was the HOH in the double eviction the first time around, I feel like he's got a good shot to become the HOH in the double eviction again. And I feel like Johnny Mac as well has a decent shot to win HOH in this double eviction. So you could easily see, if they made that big move, you could see them also like control this whole double eviction.
Exactly. And then they could take Liz out right after her sister, or take Austin out, and you just sort of, that whole side could be destroyed by the end of double eviction. But I think everybody thinks double eviction is next week. They are not thinking that it's coming up. So they haven't, I don't think, well, I'm hoping my people have really thought, but as we can see, they're not the best thinkers sometimes. So I don't know if they're thinking about if double eviction is this week. I think they'll actually really be taken off guard when Julie says that it is.
Okay.
Yeah, they'd have no idea it's coming. Last time they planned for it excessively, and they have no plans for it right now.
How is Meg doing? Does she know that she's going to be the target this week, Taryn?
She went and talked to Vanessa earlier today, and she kind of felt like she may have gotten somewhere, but at the same time, it didn't really go anywhere. So she's still kind of hopeful that maybe she'll put up Johnny Mac and Austin the Twins will send Johnny Mac out. But she, at the same time, she kind of knows like, we might be in trouble here, or I might be in trouble here.
Now, how has Vanessa gotten the Aust twins to agree to put Julia up as a pawn and not like a Johnny Mac or Steve go up? Like why would they agree to this?
Sorry, I missed the
Why would the Aust twins agree to having Julia go up as a block on the block as a pawn when you could put up Johnny Mac, you could put up Steve? There are these other people that seem like they would be much better targets, especially as far as the Aust twins are concerned. They put them both on the block last week.
Quite frankly, Austin the twins are not very good at this game. they were willing to let Vanessa put up Johnny Mac and vote Meg out, which would have turned James against them. It would have been the worst possible scenario for them, apart from obviously one of them going. They did push for what was best for them, which was Johnny Mac leaving, but they really just let Vanessa talk them into whatever she wanted, even if it was one of them going up on the block, and they're totally fine with it because they're like, oh, this is great because now we're not going to make James mad.
But
Vanessa's that good. She's that good. She'll really make you be like, sure, like have my BB life. It's okay. Like I didn't need it anyway.
But they really didn't object to Julia being the pawn and not Steve or Johnny Mac.
They did it first.
I mean,
yeah. And that's it.
Julia was upset, but she said she was upset because she didn't want to have to figure out a speech for live TV on Thursday.
Well, you know, reading is hard for her.
But then I think what really convinced them was, okay, if we put Julia up, then you guys won't have to go against James by voting Meg out over Johnny Mac. Little did they realize, if Johnny Mac goes up, then you can just vote Johnny Mac out.
Right.
Right.
You don't have to do what Vanessa tells you to.
And you wouldn't necessarily even be worried about a flip, because if you leave Aus Twins off the block completely, those are your three votes. They will personally decide who goes home. So putting one of them up is sort of like irrelevant, because now you've taken a vote away from someone who probably would have crawled up Vanessa's butt all week.
But yeah, and I do want to say I don't want to misrepresent Austin the Twins. They were pushing very hard to get Johnny Mac up on the block. But once Vanessa kind of turned around, they crumbled pretty quickly.
Now, Taryn, does Vanessa realize that the house could, or that, you know, Johnny Mac, Steven, James could then take out Julia if she does this?
She was very aware that the Twins could flip the vote on her if she put up Johnny Mac. She's a lot more blind to the fact that Johnny Mac and Steve could. I don't think she sees it coming from them. I was totally flabbergasted with her the other night when she was completely on board with putting Johnny Mac up to target Johnny Mac, and it was so bad for her game to do so. She was letting Austin the Twins just totally run her HOH. But I think she was drunk. I think that was what it was. She was drinking some wine, and she was just she thought, oh, if I leave Johnny Mac in the game, and he teams up with James, he's going to target me over Austin the Twins, which is never ever going to happen in a million years. So she is a little blind on this, you know. And I expected more from her, but ultimately, when it comes down to it, she's doing something that's okay for her game, which is Julia going up, Meg going home. She's still in a good position moving forward.
This is one of those situations, though, where we talk on a Sunday and then it's like they have one more night to think about it. And this is, I mean, Jason's the perfect example of this, where then they think about something over Sunday night and then they want to change what they're going to do going into Monday. So do you think that she could potentially come to her senses, Jason?
I mean, I'm hoping so, because no offense to my girl Meg, but using your HOH to get Meg out is a waste, especially, and how many more of true or falses are they going to have other than this next double eviction? Like, it's down to the time where we do some BB classics where you better know your stuff. And Meg is not that good at, she hasn't really showed herself to be good at really any of the comps necessarily. I mean, the me and her matching fabrics, that was made for a gay guy and the chick from New York. So, like, that one is different. So I haven't necessarily seen Meg comp beast anything yet. So taking her out is a waste of your HOH. Like, there's so many other people in there that are actually going to be threats over you in some of these games, because it really comes down to, are you going to win some of these comps? You're not going to get, you know, what's it, five people to vote for you now. You're not going to get five people to vote for you if you ain't won nothing.
I do want to say, I do think there is definitely some value in taking out Meg here, because first of all, Meg, she doesn't win anything, so she's going to get dragged along. And if Meg makes it down, if she's the last person left of the opposition, then everyone's, she's not going to go. Everyone's going to turn on each other, and they're probably going to turn on Vanessa first, especially if the Austin and the Twins have been weakened already, so they're not as big of a threat. And with Meg gone, it kind of sets up a situation where Johnny Mac and Steve are going to be targeting Austin the Twins. Austin the Twins still think she's loyal to them. Her only worry is if James wins that HOH and decides, you know, I don't care about Austin the Twins. I want vengeance for Meg. That's her biggest worry at the moment. But, you know, other than that, I think taking out Meg here isn't too bad a move.
Okay.
For her game, yeah.
For her game,
it was good. Right, it's nobody else's game but Vanessa's. Yeah. But for her, that's good, yeah.
Yeah, everybody else should leave Meg
it's
in there.
It's like, so, right, they should run like from it. But
black and white.
James, by the way, Grandma's BFF, Andrea Belke, is in the chat room, and she wants to say hi to you.
Hey, Andrea. I've heard lots about Andrea, and I know Andrea from Survivor, but I was like a hardcore Survivor back in the day. I don't know like Andrea's season as well, but I knew of her, and I was like, oh, you're friends with the Survivor girl? Like, hey, I love Meg. I'm going to come to New York all the time. So, Andrea, you're gonna be ready to get rid of me soon enough. She's gonna be like, send that boy back to Massachusetts.
Did you want to weigh in on the hashtag BB scandal?
A BB scandal. I liked BB scandal. I think it's funny to me. I didn't really like Clay's like interview with Julie Chen where he like called Meg like a hoe bag, which is farthest from the truth. And it's not Meg's fault that she's like magically delicious and everyone like is just following her around. She's absolutely stunning. She's actually so much better looking in person than she looks on TV.
Okay. Well, yeah, especially when they're billing her as Grandma Meg.
Well, that's true.
James was very funny in that clip, though.
I'm in deep love with her glasses. She is the best with the red lipstick and the glasses. And her bangs are so long at this point that her poor eyelashes are probably supporting their weight.
Okay, let's take some more questions. Lisa, oh, sorry, this is from Ryan Hilliard. Better move, Vanessa putting Julia or Johnny Mac on the block next to Meg. I think that we have all agreed that it's the best move for Vanessa to put Meg up, I'm sorry, to put Julia there and get Julia, have Julia as the pawn and have Meg go out. But for everybody else, it's better to have Meg stay in the house. And it would be worse to send Johnny Mac out, correct? Okay. Let's take this question. This is from Stephen K. Doesn't it seem much more likely that Liz just has a bad case of Stockholm syndrome? We've heard that before, Jason. Do you think that's the case?
I don't know. He didn't go to college. So I think I know. Is like Stockholm syndrome when you like poison your babies?
No, Stockholm syndrome is when you fall in love with your captor.
Oh, okay. On like a you kidnap me and now I'm going to hold guns for you stuff.
Yeah, now I'm in love with you. I don't want to leave, okay. Even though I could. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, it could kind of be that. She has been captive of his for the whole entire time. And maybe now she's just reserved to her fate.
She's forgotten what life was like without Austin.
Yeah. Well, you forget what the real world is in there. All you see and do are those people. So it's like, who do those people? Pause. It is what it is.
Okay. Yeah, it's hard to forget that when Jeff and Jace were still in the house, she was kind of all over them more than she was all over Austin.
Uh-oh.
Oh, she would have much rather taken a piece of Jeff.
Whoa.
She voted for him.
Okay.
Yeah, she did.
All right, here's a question from Lisa Michelle, who says, could one of the returning jurors have yelled out, "Don't trust Vanessa," instead of "love you all" after they fell off the swing?
I mean, that would have been great TV, but I mean, that's BB would be like, "We shut up!" Like they'd be yelling at you. Like I don't know, you just would not. I wouldn't do it because you're half war. Like I wanted to go off on everyone on my like eviction speech, but I was thinking, oh no, I still have these three people left in the game. I'm not trying to act crazy and ruin what could be their game. Yep. So maybe they didn't in thoughts of the others.
But Taryn, like, didn't Jesse do stuff like that in Big Brother 15?
I was going to say, I think after what happened in Big Brother 15, the production is probably extra careful in telling them, as soon as you fall, get right out of there.
You're out.
So help me God, if you say anything when you're in there, that's it. We're taking your money. You got no money.
Exactly.
Exactly. And I saw a quote of Meg on feed saying that she felt like they were like disturbing the jury members, like, cocktail hour, like they were like on vacation. They were like, oh, we have to go compete with our old roommates for a bit, we don't even care. And it almost felt like that watching that. Like I love Jackie and Becky, but like her, them and Shelly, they all seemed like, hey, like we just tanned all day, I guess we'll come here, I guess maybe we'll try to hang on this rope a bit, I don't know. Like everyone, they seem so relaxed about it. They're already so out of game mode.
Yeah. That's interesting. This is from Patrick Killen, who says, how surprised were you to find that Johnny Mac is actually a huge Big Brother fan? What are your thoughts on his game? Is that the case? Is Johnny Mac a huge Big Brother fan?
I have not found the empirical evidence of that yet. So that's actually one of my main questions this whole time, because he told me he got found drunk on the back of a golf cart or some bull. So who really knows? I do think that he's watched and studied and know this game a whole lot more than he said he did. He said he watched 16 and half of 15. So it's like, okay, so you really watched the show for 7 days. You don't know what the hell you're doing. There's no way that I think he's only watched it that much. Is he a BB internet down watching seasons that look like they were filmed in 1994? Probably not. But does he know new relevant 2010 plus Big Brother? probably.
Okay. Yeah, that was one of the questions I really wanted to ask Johnny Mack, but we didn't get a chance to because he went right back in. Was like, have you watched this? Because he's so good at pretending that he hasn't watched it. He's almost convinced me, despite the fact that I've been told otherwise by like pretty good sources, that he hasn't watched anything.
Well, he talked about in his pregame interviews about how, like, I feel like he said something like, you know, the people that I would hate the most are super fans. Like, I'd vote them out right away. Why do you say you're a big super fan? So he was definitely saying that he would never tell anybody that he was a fan of the show.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's what we all should have done.
Yeah. I do want to say about Johnny Mack. I think he's really stepped it up this last week. He actually made a really effective campaign right before last week's eviction. He had a chance to flip it. Vanessa was probably never going to flip, but he actually got Megan James on board, which is pretty impressive. And since then, he's kept Vanessa on his side. He's got this three thing going on with her and Steve, and now he's buddying up to James. And if James is going to stay, so he can try and reel James in. He's definitely stepped up his game from where it was before, which was, you know, not too existent.
Just being everybody's pawn.
Okay, let's do one more question. This is from Kim Harper. Does Austin really smell as bad as we are led to believe? # Vic Aust Twins. Does Austin really smell?
He really does smell. I mean, I've smelled worse, but like we've all drove by a sewage plant, so like we've all smelled worse. So he's not the smelliest probably even person in the world. But when you work out for like 19 hours a day and you take one shower
and
your hair weighs 40 pounds alone in itself and you can't even like scratch half your skin because it's headed underneath a bear rug, like there's obviously going to be some sort of odor.
Okay. Smelliest person in the house.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or my farts. California food is gross.
Why, what's gross about it? Like Mexican food?
Everything. No, I love Mexican food. Everything's friggin' gluten-free and vegetarian, and ain't nobody ever seen a fryer later or know how to use some Wesson oil. Like, everything is so bruschetta with tomato on it. And I'm like, bruschetta with tomato on it makes me fart. Like, can I get some fish and chips from New England? Can I get some, like, chicken fingers? Audrey ate all the damn chicken nuggets and they were made out of friggin' chickpeas. Like, what's wrong with people in California? Kill a chicken. They're good.
I don't know. Well, it's a mystery. We'll never know the answer to it. All right. Jason, great job on the show tonight. I wrote down the hashtag, Dog Rock Hay. Let's do that as the hashtag for people that made it to the end. You are at the J Roy on Twitter. Anything else that you're doing this summer you want to tell people to check out?
I actually have just heard about some weird things that I might be doing, but like it's things that I can't really talk about yet.
Things you might be doing that you can't talk about
yet. Yeah. Well, all of this is weird things. Doing podcasts is weird things. So I've been doing lots of weird non-life things. And obviously, if I do something else, I'll yell it out on Twitter and everyone will know. You can find my annoying butt there on Twitter.
And like weird things that have something to do with Big Brother or?
Big Brother affiliated.
Okay, yeah. Big Brother affiliated. Got it. All right, good stuff. Of course, you can follow Taryn on Twitter. He's at Armstrong Taryn. When do you think we're going to know anything? Is there anything that tonight that we should be waiting for? Any specific talks scheduled?
Not really. Everything's pretty much set in stone at the moment. Just wait on Steve and Johnny Mack talking about, you know, what they're going to do. They're probably just going to go with what Vanessa wants, but you never know.
Okay. All right. Well, this was a very fun show. Tomorrow I'll be talking we're going to do our big voicemail show with Jordan Parhar. Get your voicemails in. robiswebsite.com/voicemail or 323-282-RHAP. Later on Monday night, we're also going to do our 20-team RHAP fantasy football draft. And we're going to do that live. And I will tweet out a link to that if you want to check that out. We'll post it as a podcast as well. So then Wednesday night, we'll be live again at 9:15 p.m. Eastern for our next Big Brother podcast. Have a good one, everybody. We'll talk to you again soon. Take care. Bye.